The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Good to see you, Kev.
Welcome back from France, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed for doing the duty over the course of the week.
It was always good.
Interesting week in France, mostly punctuated by a completely deranged fucking Twitter feed of people who couldn't actually believe that I'd managed to get to France and back without any fucking delay whatsoever. And it was
they so hate it.
They so want there to be a queue. Yeah. And, you know, the excuses for me being able to go there without a queue were ranged from you're lying to that's an old picture that you sent of us because I've looked at the weather forecast and it's not raining in Calais. Why is the
rain wet? Therefore, you're obviously lying.
Then they said, well, you don't get a stamp on the way back, which is not true because you actually do get a stamp
you
on the way
now,
back.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it was, oh, it's because nobody can afford to travel because nobody's got any fucking money. Oh. I mean, they just came up with one litany of excuse after another.
And are they then maintaining that when there are those fucking ginormous traffic jams at Dover for about 7 days in a row, all those people couldn't afford to travel?
Exactly right. Fucking thing they did say, which was right, was that basically, because I went on Le Shuttle, which is the train, it is a lot more expensive. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of people fucking travelling. Don't worry about that. But the point is, the reason you know it isn't Brexit related is because if it was, everything would be fucked.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't have one day where it was fine and another day when it wasn't. Just because more people go, there's always been fucking trouble at Dover. Dover is a shit place to fucking go anywhere from because they haven't got enough space because they've got the White Cliffs and they've got too many people getting on too few ferries.
Is that the Brexit derangement syndrome? It's really strange.
It really is.
You still see all these people all over Twitter. Terry Christian, you know, every fucking minute of every fucking
just
day,
just going on and on about it.
On and on about Brexit. Brexit's ruined the country. Remain. We should get back into Europe. Fucking get over it, you twat.
Yeah, because everything's going so well in France, right? Because while
yes,
I was there,
it is.
You know, I kept expecting something to go up in flames because even where we were, which is a very rural little part of Normandy. And I must, one thing I must say about the French, though, is their fucking roads are amazing, right? Not a pothole to be seen.
Yeah.
As soon as we came back to Folkestone on the way back, straight into a traffic jam, and every fucking road was like, you were fucking going like this, you know, shaking up and down. Because the roads, even the side back roads there, are absolutely smooth as fucking silk.
Have you seen, there's a pothole in the fucking Sun today in the newspaper.
Oh, the guy's right in it.
It's 6 foot deep. It's a pothole.
I mean, it's
not a fucking pothole. That's a cave.
Well, isn't it now something like? Doesn't it take something like 850 days to fix a pothole, which is actually nearly
that
3 years?
850 fucking years to fix fucking massive fucking.
It is bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. But I'll tell you, there was a couple of interesting dog stories for you when I was away, because for some reason in this part of France where we live, where we're staying, They liked Alsatians, and I'm not I'm not particularly against Alsatians, no. But they're quite frightening looking fucking dogs, right? And
it can be lovely, but if they're not trained, they can be fucking terrifying.
Well,
yeah. Terrified.
Well, opposite, I started barking at this one because it's the sort of thing
as you do,
because you know I take Ziggy out for a fucking walk, right? And this fucking dog, look, and there was a fence. You could tell the dog was fucking dangerous because the guy put a fence all the way around. But he had kids, so I was thinking, well, it must be quite a good dog. But this fucking dog would just roar, woo, 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 fucking constantly, and until you walk past. And then, first I started staring at it, because I thought that might fucking put it off, but it didn't. Then it would sort of put its front paws on the fucking top of the fence, and I'm thinking, shit, it's going to fucking come over the fence. But it never did, but it never fucking shut up. And eventually I just started barking at it. But one day I went a bit further around the corner, right, and heard some more barking, and didn't bark back. But as we walked towards, you know, this field, this fucking Alsatian came roaring out from behind a wall. Jeez. Really fast. And I thought, shit, this is it.
Yeah,
because
this
fucking dog looks dangerous, mean, unhappy. And Ziggy, of course, is the softest fucking dog ever. Just kind of stood there. And this dog just came right up to him and just was really in his face, yeah, barking.
Wagging its tail.
But then, sort of, was fine. Yeah. You know, so because I thought, we might have a problem here.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've seen this just go wrong very quickly, and eventually I just said to Ziggy, let's just, you know, like retreat, because he was obviously just like defending his area and didn't want us to go any further. But I literally froze for a second because I thought, this fucking dog is running and barking and looks fucking mean. You know, it's got big teeth.
You know that little terrace where I live in Hampstead?
Yeah.
So about five doors down, I mean, literally used to live, doesn't live there anymore, Jasper, who was a Pyrenean mountain
dog. Oh, yeah. I think those are huge, aren't they?
They're like the biggest dogs in the world.
That's a small fucking muse for a dog.
You know,
like,
you know, they've got about body dysphoria.
Oh, yeah.
Well, dogs have got body dysphoria. They have no idea how big they are. So, you know, little Chaz, my dog, the Cocker Spaniel, used to walk past this house, and Jasper would come out, fucking Jasper, you fucking cunt, come on, and he'd go, Chaz, it's 4 foot tall, you're the size of a mouse, bollocks, let me at it. Dogs, they have no idea how big they are, and if you have a dog like mine, but Chaz, he's a very friendly dog, but if a dog wants a fight, he doesn't care who it is.
Well, this is why
he'll take him on.
When I thought, if this turns into a fucking bad scene, I'm going to have to rescue Ziggy, because Ziggy couldn't fight without a fucking paper bag, you know, and this fucking Alsatian looked like it would literally kill him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, and then we have to take him to a vet, right? Because one of the things you have to do now.
Oh, no, is, when you get the.
Well, in order to come back.
I've done it myself.
We had to take him to the vets before we went to get whatever the equivalent now of a pet passport is.
Yeah.
Because they don't do those anymore.
Yeah.
And then we had to go to a vet in France.
Yeah, I've done it.
In order to get him wormed.
Yeah.
To get another piece of paper to come back. Yeah. So it was all quite efficient, actually. It wasn't a problem. But as we were sitting there waiting for the final bit of paper to be handed out, suddenly the fucking had these sliding doors. The sliding doors open. This woman walks in with a fucking deer, right? But worse than just being a deer, it was bleeding. He's obviously been hit by a car or something.
Bleeding deer.
Bleeding fucking deer. And the guys, and so suddenly everybody erupted.
She's got a bleeding deer.
Erupted into fucking French and was like, no. They had to take it somewhere, but it was dripping blood on the floor.
So the vet wouldn't see it?
Oh, they told him to take it somewhere to another door, because this was like...
Oh, okay.
This was like the sort of reception.
Was she like driven into it or something?
Well, I don't know whether she had. We didn't really speak to her. You know, she was holding this... It was quite a young-looking deer.
Maybe she's a bit of a psycho and she knifed it.
Maybe she did. She
stabbed the fucking deer.
Maybe she just wanted him to finish it off.
Can't stand deer. I fucking hate them too.
I quite like deer.
Bambi.
But anyway, so...
What a cunt Bambi was.
So that was all a bit traumatic anyway, but we got over it.
So, this is a story that happened while you were away.
Yeah.
Only a few days back, right? So, it's one of my wallet stories.
Oh, yeah. We always like a wallet story.
So, on Friday, with a couple of colleagues and a few people, we went to...
Oh, this involves a bit of drinking.
...pub locally here in London Bridge.
Yeah.
And I sat down at the table around about 1:15.
Yeah.
And
straight after the show.
Straight after your show. People came and went, but I didn't. I stayed there. I ended up leaving.
Did you wake up at Stanmore again?
No. It's almost worse than that. I ended up leaving about 9:00. So I did a full day's work sitting in the same stall in a pub for 8 fucking hours.
That is good going.
It was a personal best for red wine consumption. Yeah. I think I must have got through 3.5 bottles. Right. You know,
that is good going.
Big, large glass after large glass. Anyway, strangely, at the end of this marathon session, I could tell, I just didn't feel that pissed.
Right.
You know, and I had a chat with the
bar. Had you eaten?
No, I had about 3 chips around about 1 o'clock, never ate anything else.
Right.
I had a chat with the barman, and I thought, I could tell, you know, I thought, I'm holding this together, I'm not slurring my words or anything. You know, marched off, so I went to the tube station, London Bridge, got on the Northern Line to Hampstead, and I, you know, I was feeling good, I thought, yeah. So I was going home, and Henriette said, I've made some food, so I thought, well, I'm going to surprise her, because she's going to think I'm going to stumble in, barely able to talk.
Right.
No, I've got my shit together. So I get to Hampstead Station, and I was going to walk, you know, clear my head even more.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking get out of the station. It is pissing down.
Aye.
Curtain rods.
And that's a long walk from there.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. So I thought, bollocks. So I go across the road to the bus stop.
Yeah.
And I'm standing in the bus stop on my own with a briefcase, thinking, what the fuck am I doing standing here pissed as a rat in the pissing rain? Anyway, I thought, well, I'll either get an Uber, I'll order an Uber, but if a bus comes along, the 268, I'll get that, because that goes down.
And is there a bus stop at this point?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
you've got shelter.
Sheltering from the rain. Anyway, I ordered the Uber, but sure enough, 2 minutes later, along comes the 268. Happy days, cancel the Uber, get on the bus. Sitting there, it's only about 5 minutes on the bus,
right, up to the top, down the other side.
Right to the end of my road. Get off the bus, so I get up, get off the bus. I'm gonna go, I'm fucking gonna surprise Henriette because she's thinking I'm gonna be really just. I'm literally stepping off the bus,
right.
And this old bloke at the back of the bus where I was sitting, excuse me, sir, like, what do you want? What, you know, a bit sort of pissed and aggressive. He said, You've left your briefcase and your wallet on the seat. So I had to fucking go back and get it. And then the bus fucking goes one more stop, of course. So then I had to walk back in the pissing fucking rain, soaking wet.
So the fucking bus driver didn't wait for you?
Well, no, because I had to jump back on.
I
hadn't quite got off the bus. I was literally in the process.
Right.
So I went back and he just shut the door and the fucking bus drove on. So I had to walk back in the pissing rain, but I can't say that I was that depressed. I was actually, obviously, I was hugely relieved.
And was Henriette suitably surprised?
When I got back, she was quite surprised because, you know, I was strangely together. I think I sort of drunk myself sober.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd become normal for me. Anyway, so she'd made some nice dinner, so we had another bottle of wine.
As you do.
At that. And then I woke up in the morning, obviously feeling like fucking dog shit.
Right.
But I was like, of course I was very relieved about my wallet, but I was also really depressed about it. I was thinking, fucking hell, Kev, you're such a cunt. You know, you keep doing this.
Right.
So I'm going to get my wallet surgically attached to
This is the problem. You know, I've still never solved the fucking problem of my briefcase that went missing.
Yeah.
I never did find it. But I did once lose my iPad. I think I probably told this story before. Because I used to have this little TalkSport sort of shoulder bag, which didn't weigh anything. And I used to have it over my shoulder. And I was like you, taking the bus home after several fucking pints or something or other. And I got home and crashed out. Woke up at sort of 11 o'clock at night and was like, where's my fucking iPad? I don't know where it is. I don't remember bringing it home. Where the fuck is it? And I then went on the, you know, looked round the fucking house because it could have been there. It's so ridiculous, right? And I'm going, I don't think it's here. Somebody's fucking stolen it. I don't know what's going on. So I went in to find my iPhone, found it, and found that it was in a place in Camberwell. And I thought, right. And I was all fucking fired up. I was like, right, some cunt's nicked it. I'm going to go straight around there, fucking kick the fucking door in. I'm going to rescue the fucking iPad because I fucking know exactly where it is. Then I thought, shouldn't really drive because I'm a bit shit-faced. So I'll do it tomorrow. So the next day, I get in the car. I'm like, right, I'm fucking ready to come across some kind of, you know, fucking den of iniquity full of thieves with loads of fucking iPhones.
Yeah,
and iPads. And I got there and it was fucking London Transport lost property. And I literally left it on the bus. Because the string that kept it on my shoulder had fallen down, and I'd probably fallen asleep or something on the bus, and I'd got up and not realised I didn't have it.
Awesome. But luckily, somebody handed it in,
yeah. And then I lost it a year later.
Right, and so you've just had a nice holiday in France. So the next holiday that I want to go to the Brecon Beacon.
Yeah. It's a good place to go to Brecon Beacons, but whatever you do when you're there, don't light any fires, because obviously there you will have an incredible urge to light a fire,
yeah.
Because it says it's a beacon. Because yeah. That's according to the Welsh National Parks Office.
Yeah, so what they changed the name to, EB... It doesn't matter.
You've got the Welsh saying it's a very good thing because it's traditional and it's the original name, but I had a guy ring me today who said, actually, it's named after some Irish fucking prince that came to Wales, so it's not particularly Welsh as a name anyway.
And the beacons bit is they used to light beacons on the top of the peaks, yeah. To send messages, yeah. To each other.
And that's what it's always been known as, and loads of people are calling it that and saying that's what it's going to be known as anyway. It's just bullshit, absolute bullshit.
And then the idea that because it's associated with beacons made of wood,
yeah.
that polluted the fucking air.
What a load of bollocks.
When was the last time they lit a beacon on a peak in the Brecons?
Well, they might have done it during the Jubilees. Remember, they lit all the beacons there.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah.
So actually, it's not that long ago. But, I mean...
Apparently it used to be like fucking loads of them all over.
Well, the point of the brick...
Anyway, it's bollocks, and what a ridiculous thing to
do. Well, yeah, but one, people don't want to start fires just because they see the word beacon, yeah. Right? One. Two, now that they don't see the word beacon, they don't want to start any more fires or any less fires. It's the same number of fires, fucking zero, yeah. Right? So what's the point?
And that fuckwit Michael Sheen, of course, is...
He's
backing
really,
it all the way. Yeah, never saw a stupid left-wing... cause that he didn't want to fucking get involved in, silly arsehole.
Yeah, I had some trouble with the Welsh as well when I was away, because I can't remember why I did it, but I basically said that Wales isn't a country. And I said, actually, here's proof that Wales is a country, because here's a Welsh passport. And I just put a picture of my British passport down, and they all went fucking
that's
insane. Because that's
good
true.
Idea.
And I said, you can't have a country if it doesn't have its own passport. And they went, well, that means England isn't a country either. I said, correct. And Scotland isn't either. None of them are.
United Kingdom is
the country, and that's the fucking passport.
Yeah.
And fuck me, did I get a lot of shit from the Welsh.
Yeah, and Scotland's a country as well. Really good leadership as well.
Fantastic.
It's going well for the SNP.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah, today, as we record this, the treasurer of the SNP is in a police station being questioned about the missing money, because he's been the treasurer, apparently, for 20-odd years. Yeah. And there's a series of names on the SNP accounts, and they are his name, Nicola Sturgeon's name, and Murrell's name, Peter Murrell. Those are the three names on the fucking accounts that the SNP...
Well, it's her birthday soon, so I've sent her a birthday present. It's a book, For Whom Does the Bell Toll? Hope she enjoys it.
Send her a ball and chain.
Oh, fucking hell, I mean, what a shit show.
Incredible. It's absolutely incredible what's going on up there.
By the way, what was
I was talking to a guy today, I said, how can you even have a government in these circumstances? You know, Hummels are useless, as you know, right? He's fucking sitting there.
He's too fucking thick for this.
He's so shit, right?
He's thick as shit.
Right. And the one thing he has decided to do is to make sure that he goes forward with the Gender Recognition Act, because that wasn't the thing that fucking finished him off. So it's like, that's his one great move, yeah, is to fucking...
Not only revive the policy,
but challenge the British government in the courts to see if he can get it through.
You know, cause that's
fucking plank.
Because he's so fucking thick. That was Nicola Sturgeon's tactic all along, to try to do things...
Yeah.
To literally goad the Westminster government into stopping
it. Yeah.
So she can say, make us independent, and then we can do our own thing.
I mean, Alex Salmond used to do that, but he was much cleverer at it. Because he would always push for something that he knew he wouldn't get. And that way he looked like he was in the right and they were all in the wrong.
And check this out, right? So you know, when they set up that forensics tent in their front garden, Sturgeon and Peter Morrell's front garden. I mean, still was
shitty
going,
fucking house, by the way.
Yeah,
wasn't
what
it?
A shit house. Yeah,
yeah.
The fucking council estate. and still, we're going. What were they fucking digging for?
Yeah,
what
I know.
But here's the thing that it's only emerged.
Well, it turns out they weren't digging though. It turns out that the only reason anyone thought they were digging is because one, there was a forensic tent which apparently had a van in it.
The digging bits.
No, but supposedly
don't
they
kill
were,
that story.
People saw them, the police with shovels, right? So they assumed they were digging, but in fact the shovels were from a shed in the back garden. Right, yeah. So I'm told they weren't actually digging for anything.
Let's still say they were digging.
It's a better story.
Digging for buried treasure. But here's the fucking thing though, right? So round the corner, a few miles away, at Peter Morrell's mum's house,
oh, yeah,
had been parked this £110,000 motorhome. Yes. Which was fucking seized by the police as
which
well.
Which is like probably enough, yeah, to buy like a Winnebago or something.
110 grand, yeah. And guess what? It's owned by the Scottish National, yeah, Party. Any idea why?
Well, apparently they
the
thought
the
it
fuck
was...
do they need a fucking motorhome for?
Apparently they thought it was a bus. No, they did. They put it down as a bus.
Yeah, bollocks.
Yeah, of course it's bollocks.
Bollocks.
Yeah, and that's why it's sitting on his mother's fucking drive. You know.
Yes, in the words of the song.
Because, as somebody said, if they were short of money in the SNP, which they fucking well are now because nobody's given them any and nobody's going to give them any, why did he lend them 100,000 quid? Why didn't he just sell the fucking motorhome?
Well, no? The thing is that because it wasn't technically his, it's the Scottish National Party.
But why didn't they sell it?
What the fuck is... Yeah, but what the fuck are they want a fucking motorhome for?
Maybe they have their next conference,
yeah,
in.
Well, I think you know, we've got to be legally careful here, but fuck,
well, not really.
Me, fuck,
because,
no, me.
Because nobody's been charged yet. There's, yeah, just an investigation going on. Yeah. You know, Peter Morrell obviously could well be innocent. For now.
That's the best joke I've heard for a while. And now the chief...
And certainly there's no evidence that Nicola Sturgeon's done anything wrong.
Yeah, there's no...
Yeah, we're covered now.
She's not in any trouble whatsoever.
No, I'm sure she hasn't done anything untoward. Fuck. And similarly, this bloke Beatty,
the treasurer.
Yeah, I'm sure he's absolutely clean as a whistle. Wouldn't worry about it. Absolutely
hell,
no problem.
Fucking hell.
Unbelievable.
So, you know the Women's Institute?
Not really.
Yeah, so you can...
I've never been there. Where is it?
Well, you can go now.
Can I?
They're going to change the name to Bloke the Blokes.
The Blokes Institute. Yes. Excellent. Yeah.
Anyone
have you got any women here?
Anyone could join. Any women in the house? No.
Just identify
the
woman.
The Trans Women's Institute. The fuck is going on there? It's the Women's fucking Institute. It's for women.
It's for anyone who identifies as a woman, surely. Is it in Scotland? Is that why it's fucking confused?
No, it's the whole country.
So... What does the Women's Institute do anyway?
Well, they just sort of, there's 180,000, they get together and they talk about things and they make sandwiches and they have fucking fates. And,
but
you know, my mum was in the Women's Institute.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, what did you fucking do there?
Well, they just sort of get together and have a couple of glasses of wine and fucking jaw, jabber, jabber.
Sounds great. Can't fucking wait.
But, you know, they like each other's company.
Is there a Men's Institute?
And I think they do...
Why don't we have a Men's... Maybe we can start it. Men's Institute.
Well, the Blokes Institute. Yeah,
yeah. Blokes Institute.
And if we had Blokes... The Men's Institute, would we allow trans men in?
No. Women could come in, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been a fan
of... Trans men could just fuck off.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of these all-men-only clubs, you know? I went to... Do you remember White's in...
yeah.
Have been there for lunch? I got taken there for lunch once by Richard Addis.
The ultimate club.
It's
the
ultimate sort of, you know, gentleman's...
Who took you?
Richard Addis, when he was entering the Express. And we went for lunch. And I felt really fucking uneasy. It was a room full of blokes having lunch with each other. No women. No women staff. All the staff were men. Yeah. The waiters were all men. I was fucking weird. I was going, what the fuck are you doing here? Why would... Unless you're, only interested in men... Why else would you be there?
You know those fuckers who go to those kind of clubs? I went to one in the summer. And it's like full of all these blokes. Loads of blokes. And you know, like this
there's a sort of boarding school vibe.
There's all priests, you know, with cigars and brandy and things. They're obsessed with wine, grouse and brandy and cigars.
That's wanking, presumably.
And wanking. Yeah. Definitely wanking. When I went for a piss and in the box...
Does anybody follow
all
you
the cubicles are locked. You can do that.
That's a fucking shame. Yeah, well, anyway, I'm never joining fucking anywhere like that.
Yeah, what's it, Groucho Marx said, I'll never join a club.
Exactly. Speaking of clubs, what about Fulham Football Club?
Ah,
because I read
£3,000 a year for the season ticket.
The fucking season ticket's tripled in price. They've gone from one to three.
Well, my season ticket, because the £3,000 is the posh new stand, the Riverside stand that they've been building.
Right.
They said it would take a year and a half. It's taken something like four decades, but they've pretty much finished it now.
Well, that's standard for British builders.
And it is a flash stands, great stands, and restaurants underneath it and all that. But to get a season ticket in there, £3,000 a fucking
year. They'll sell them all, though, won't they?
They probably will,
because people want to go to football, and if you want to have a season ticket, does it give you anything other than a seat, or just a seat?
It's just a seat. My one...
Are you going to buy one?
Well, no, because I've got a season ticket in the lads' end, the Hammersmith.
Oh, okay. Is that where Sam Smith goes?
The H block. Sam Smith doesn't go there.
He's meant to be a Fulham fan.
Yeah, though. Yeah, but he wouldn't get on one in the H block. Trust me. Fuck's sake. You know, like, when I get... So, my season ticket's...
Yeah, because you have all the guys that shout and obscenities, don't you?
Oh, Christ almighty, yeah. Bloke sits next to me. The blokes who sit next to me. I can't really repeat some of the things they say, but let's just say they're not really up on the wokery.
No.
You know?
Well, this is the problem with the wokery, though. The wokery is invading every fucking aspect of our lives, isn't it?
Of course it is. You know. I mean, what about, by the way, my season ticket at the moment is around about £500.
Right.
Even that.
Is that going up?
That'll go up. Because you know, we've broken the habit of a lifetime and actually not got relegated from the Premier League. So once you remain...
Might have been a European action next year.
All the clubs cash in on sustained presence in the Premier League. They just start putting their tickets up, which is shit. My favourite woke story is the fucking woman teacher at an all-girls school who got in the deep shit for saying to her class, "Good morning, girls."
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely incredible. But this happened at St. Paul's, didn't it, as well, like a couple of years ago, which is actually officially called St. Paul's School for Girls.
Yes.
Which is a private school, very well run. Posh school. Very posh, very famous, lots of famous alumni.
Along with Rodine.
It's a bit like Westminster School for Boys, although I don't know if that's now a unisex.
I think so, yeah.
But they decided that the head girl would no longer be called the head girl. And they came up with some other fucking title, right? And somebody went, "Yeah, but you're still called the St. Paul's School for fucking girls. Yeah, yeah. What is wrong with you?"
Yeah. And it ends up that, you know, so the teacher is told to, you know, use their pronouns and not say girls. And she said, "Well, it's bloody ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a girls' school." So she sticks to her guns.
Right.
Fucking head teacher and the school authorities, they basically make her, force her to apologise. So she quit.
Good for her.
I mean, you know what? This, it's Maoist.
Yeah.
This is what happened in Mao's, Chairman right. Mao's China, that the adults were made to cower before the children.
Right.
So what they should have said to those girls, "These are our pronouns. Stick your fucking pronouns up your junior asses and do what you're fucking told."
Yeah.
Instead of, ooh.
No, we don't like that.
Pupils' rights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we're feeling triggered because the curriculum is talking about things that we don't really, really want to hear about.
You know, what's going on? Yeah, I know. It's adults taking children's protests seriously.
Right.
Why?
I know. I mean, it's just ridiculous, though. But this is where we now are. If anybody objects to something, you're immediately called into question. You're obviously some kind of mad fucking psychopath. Who wants to call women women? You know, what a cunt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I'm launching my campaign today to bring back corporal punishment in schools.
Yeah, good. We had a discipline master called Mr. Blue.
I got fucking hit all the time.
Yeah, you talked about it. And when you were 17, he was
17
still doing it.
When I said to the fucking head, Hollis, I was bending down, he's fucking whacking my arm.
We had a guy called
I'm 17! Stop doing this!
Or at least let
fucking
me
hurt,
or at least
though.
Let me pay
fucking
you.
Hurt.
Yeah, I used to get a slipper from this bloke called Mr. Bloomline, who was a discipline master, was affectionately known in the school as Bubba.
Bummer Bloomline.
Because he would walk you all the way to the top of the old building in Cardinal Vaughan School, which was in Holland Park. And his room was the only room right at the top of the school.
Right.
And you'd bend over and he'd hit you with a fucking slipper.
Yeah, there's always something a bit strange about
weird.
Those teachers that really enjoyed hitting kids across the arse.
Luckily, I never got a hard on.
That Gaza story?
No.
Just disgusting. So
I saw a Gaza story.
What is this?
But I didn't really read
There's
it.
There's this shit new reality programme on the world's shittest channel, Channel 4.
Right.
And it's called...
I fucking hate Channel 4.
It's called Scared of the Dark. And, so they will take basically, clothes basically to sum it, no, it's basically Big Brother with the lights off.
Right.
So it's a bunch of minor celebrities going, oh, fucking hell. It's been called the most sweariest programme in the history of TV.
Obviously, everyone listens to
Thilk. So in the middle of this, Gazza's in it, Paul Gascoigne, and he tells this story that when he was a famous footballer, he gets him and Newcastle, or whatever team he was playing for, they get invited to Downing Street.
Right.
And they flash up a picture, and there's a picture of him with Maggie Thatcher.
Right.
And, you know, doing that.
Oh, yes, I did see this story.
Gazza then regales his fellow minor celebrities with a lovely anecdote that at that point he got a hard on, aroused, and ran to the Downing Street loo to crack one out. Nice, isn't
it? Nice story.
Nice, yeah. It's good they didn't edit that out.
Trouble with Gazza is you just don't remember what he fucking did, because he was mostly shit-faced every fucking single minute of every single day.
But I don't like being puritanical, but there are moments when television producers ought to maybe step in. I don't want to fucking
But of course, in the world of Channel 4, any kind of anything that diminishes Margaret Thatcher in their eyes.
Oh yeah, is yeah, fucking yeah. Good
you know,
point.
It's like
good point.
That's fucking horrendous story about Margaret Thatcher.
If it was about Tony Blair, they probably wouldn't.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't do that. Yeah. Although they don't like Blair much either.
No, they don't.
But if it was about, you know, David Lammy, oh no, you can't be doing that. You can't make any jokes about him. Or fucking Diane Abbott, no, because that would make you racist. But it's all right to absolutely piss all over the memory of Margaret Thatcher, because she was evil. You know, you still see people on Twitter with, you know, celebrating Margaret Thatcher's death 10 years on. I mean, what's wrong with these fucking wankers?
Yeah, you get over it. Bit like fucking Brexit, isn't it?
Oh, well, they'll never get over that. They'll literally never get over it. And I mean, I have to say, when I was in France, you didn't get any sense that they were even in the European Union.
No.
They don't mention it. Yeah. They don't talk about it. You don't see EU flags flying everywhere. Yeah. You know, they're French. They're France. That's what they do. They happened to be rioting in fucking Paris when I was there. Because at one point the kids were like, should we go to Paris? I was like, I don't think it's a very good idea. The fucking streets are on fire.
It's quite a long way from where you were.
Well, you could get a train there not that far because I think it was
about... Paris when it's in good form.
I don't know Paris that well. I love it. But the kids really wanted to go because we've been once before with them. But...
Great city, but not right now. And also, the thing about the French, and they're all like rioting and setting fire to cars, wearing those yellow jackets.
Yeah.
And why is that? It's because this is, well, you might have to work a couple more years.
Yeah.
You know, the pension agent. What, you make me fucking work?
Also, the
great...
Ooh, la
la!
Also,
they fucking hate working.
Have you ever noticed? Lazy cunts. Yeah. And they don't work on Mondays, right? They don't work on the weekends, right?
They don't fucking work.
They don't work in August.
They do about a 21-hour week.
They don't work in fucking August, right?
Yeah, of course that's
Monday,
right.
Forget about it. Nothing going on. But when you drive through these towns in I find it's in Europe a lot. Spain, Portugal, the same. Italy, France. There's no fucking around. Where are they?
Well, as I say, if you want to go...
But where are they?
You want to make a billion fucking euros in France, set up a shutter business. Because every fucking building is shattered for most of the day. Imagine being a boss in France, you're running your company, you know, in the office. You know, a couple of your staff come and say, yeah, boss, so we're just nipping out for lunch. Back in 4.5 hours. Fucking 7 courses, wine.
Yeah, yeah.
Lazy bastards.
But I mean, that's the other thing.
That's why I reckon they lost the fucking Battle of Waterloo. They just didn't turn up.
He couldn't be bothered.
Still in bed.
Yeah, couldn't be bothered. Maybe it was in August. No, we did that fight in August in stinking English.
We went for lunch.
Yeah. But that was the other thing. All these fucking Ramonas were going on about, right? They were like, well, it might be all right for you to go for holidays there, but you try staying there for more than 90 days. Well, why would I want to stay there for 90 fucking days? I've got
still
a job.
91 day
I've
holiday.
Got a fucking job, you cunts. I've got to come back and do it. Why the fuck would I want to stay in a foreign country for 3 months?
Yeah.
Who wants
to fucking live there anyway?
Yeah, I know.
I like France.
But that's the other thing they can't understand is that, you know, but you voted for Brexit, you must hate Europe. No, actually, I rather like Europe. Yeah. I just don't like the fucking European Union, you stupid cunt.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Full of lazy bastards.
Anyway, we've pretty much used up the half an hour already.
We certainly have.
But if you haven't done it already, go to Patreon and sign up for our Patreon channel. We're going to do a little thing on there. I can't remember what we're going to do about this week, but we'll come up with something. But we should talk about Suitable Choices, shouldn't we?
Dave Johnson.
The man from Suitable Choices, who has helped to bring you this podcast. It's where you get your mortgage sorted out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's based in Margate. Right? But he covers the whole country.
He does cover the whole
country.
Good
man, yeah. And he'll sort you out.
Suitablechoices.co.uk is where you go to find him. And if you're looking for any kind of mortgage, that's where you go. We'll be back next week, and we shall see you then. Anything fucking stupid.
Yeah, but until then, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well done.
Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Modo. I like my slots hot. Modo's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Modo Casino. Modo Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Modo, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.